Less. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 152, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise his word, so rich and free. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 152. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11 to verse 32. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So far the reading of God's holy word. In addition to Dustin Grisnick, also Chad Outshorn needs to enter the hospital in this week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal Lord, thou who art in heaven, and thou who dwellest in holiness, in all righteousness and in all purity, unto whom none can approach except that he be pure, that he be holy and righteous, then we cannot come before thee in any way, except that we come in and through thine only begotten Son, in whom there is no guile, who has accomplished for his church all righteousness, by which they also shall be saved, and in whom thou seest no spot, no wrinkle in thy church. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may look upon us in and through that Son of thy love, that we may be engrafted into him, that we also may be a member of his body, that we may be counted in him in that day that we have to appear before thee, our judge, that we would not be cast out eternally. Lord, may thou give us a little impression in this afternoon hour that it is so necessary that we have a mediator, that we have a surety, that we have a redeemer for our poor soul. As travelers to a great eternity, one that shall never come to an end, and where it is of the greatest importance, because it is our eternal state, that there is no change anymore, but where that tree falleth, there it shall be. And Lord, and the matter that is so urgent, because we know not the day of our death, and it is that even in this very day, that it is possible that we enter into that never-ending eternity. And Lord, we are not prophets, that we might know the future concerning ourselves and of our children. But all things are known to thee. And we are warned, we are called by thee through thy word. And Lord, we cannot impress our own hearts with these callings, nor the callings that come to us day by day, even in a providential way in our lives. For there are those that we have seen that have had to go the way of all flesh. They are those who have been close to us. There are also those who are so very ill. Lord, may these callings never testify against us and against our dear children, but that thou would with great earnestness and seriousness give them to weigh upon our souls, that we could not one day more go on without God in this world, but that it may become our chief concern, and that we have left Thee, our Maker, and that we are lying under Thy wrath and Thy hot displeasure by nature, unless that we are born again, unless that we receive a new life, unless that we are counted in Him who is Thy beloved Son. Lord, wilt Thou give that these matters may indeed weigh upon our souls this Thy Sabbath day, this day that we may set aside all that is of this world, and we may consider the need of our poor soul. Lord, may Thou impress it then upon us. Thou who hast the power to do so, Thou who promisest to do so under the preaching of Thy servants, Lord, may Thou give then that our preaching, that Thou may Thyself confirm it, that we are indeed Thy servant and sent by Thee. When Thou wilt take of that word, and when Thou wilt go from heart to heart, and when Thou wilt quicken the dead souls, that they might live, when Thou may also give unto Thy true church what is necessary to be led within those steps of grace, Lord, then it is from our side impossible to lead them forward, because we even ourselves do not know Thy way. We are so ignorant. But Lord, Thou canst use us as clay in Thy holy fingers to bring Thy word and Thy truth to Thy church, in order that there may be food for them, that they may eat and that they may drink as the meek shall eat and shall be satisfied, and that Thy name may be glorified. Wilt Thou look upon each and every one? Wilt Thou look upon the sick and the afflicted and all those that have special needs, and the widows, widowers, and orphans in their loneliness and solitude in this world? Help us to bear the burdens of one another, and visit them Thyself, O Lord, and comfort as Thou alone art able. Be with the two children that must go into the hospital in this week. Thou knowest their circumstances. May Thou aid and assist in all these ways, and bless that which must take place to their welfare. And Lord, may Thou go before each and every one, also in the needs that are in this life. Wilt Thou bless the labors of each one in the field, that the crops may be given the rain and the sunshine, and that Thou may give a measure of prosperity, that we may eat and drink in this life and have sufficient. May it not be to live in the ways of sin, but that we may be fed with food convenient for us, that we might use that strength and that health in the fear of Thy name, that we may walk in Thy ways and in Thy commandments, that we may use all that Thou givest us in this life to seek Thee and for the welfare of one another, to urge one another. And while it is still a day of grace, Lord, wilt Thou be with all that rule and reign over us, and wilt Thou supply in the needs of those that make decisions and those that judge in our land on the behalf of other people, and give that justice may be done in our courts. Wilt Thou give that rulers may bow before Thee, the sovereign God, And wilt thou remember also the elections which take place in our sister nation, Lord? May thou watch over this also. Could it please thee to keep from sliding on that slippery pathway, but that thou would hold yet back, and that thy word may still have a place for us and for our dear children? Wilt thou look upon all those that work in thy vineyard, the missionaries, and those that labor in thy kingdom? Increase their number, bless the work of their hands, strengthen them from above, and give a double portion of thy Holy Spirit. Also to our own teachers and those that labor in our own school. Lord, wilt thou be with us as parents in the great responsibility that lays upon our hands? Oh, that thou may give us faithfulness, diligence, thy Spirit in a rich measure, self-denial, and that we may labor for the good spiritual welfare of our youth. Wilt thou be with our young people? Remember them as they go to universities. Wilt thou be with them as they make decisions that are such major decisions in this life, concerning whom that they shall marry? Lord, oh, may thou give them to bow their knees before thee, and may thou lead them in that most difficult decision often, and that they may desire to know in truth what thy will is, and that they may be found upon their knees, and that they may seek a mate in this life from the Lord, one who may truly fear thy name. And Lord, may thou so bless each and every one of us. Wilt thou supply for us in this afternoon hour, in the preaching and in the hearing of thy word? Lord, open thy word and the mysteries of thy gospel for the sake of the poor. Wilt thou give food in thy house? Wilt thou give gladness to those that are oppressed? And wilt thou rebuke those that walk in a way contrary to thee? And so may we all be saved by thee thyself. Forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 248, stanzas 1 through 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in His shadow safely hide. The last collection today is for the school. The following young people hope to make confession of faith: Miss Alana Shipper, Mr. Eldon Van Cly, Miss Erica Vinnie, and Mr. Leon Vinnie, Mrs. Joni Vinnie. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 248, stanzas 1 through 4. Congregation, one of those four things that Agur said were too wonderful for him and that he did not understand was the way of a man with a maid. The secret drawing, the love, the affection, the relationship between Ruth and Boaz, that was, of course, a very special one, because it was more than that of a mere natural relation, but it was also a type. What did Boaz see in Ruth? He saw in her a woman that feared the Lord. And he saw in her a woman that was a virtuous woman. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." What was it that Ruth did see in Boaz? You know what was her desire. Thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. And now she may see in this man a way in which this desire may be fulfilled, and that she may indeed become one of that people of the Lord. What a precious way that the Lord relates unto his church, the relation that is between him and her. We heard something of that this morning. That is, as the relation between a bride and the bridegroom. That is a very special, that is a very precious one. And that church may experience it by times to be so. "I am my beloved's," said the bride, "and his desire is toward me." And that is not only the relationship between a bride and a bridegroom, but also that between a child and his father. And that we wish to consider in this afternoon hour from our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 46, questions 120 and 121. Question 120. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, "Our Father"? Answer, that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer. Namely, that God is become our Father in Christ, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Question 121. Why is it here added, "which art in heaven"? Answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from His almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. So far, our Lord's Day. The instruction of Christ concerning the address of prayer. First, instruction concerning why we may pray. Second, instruction concerning how we must pray. The instruction of Christ concerning the address of prayer. First, why we must pray. Second, why we may pray. Second, how we must pray. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus? Our Father. Commanded us. Commanded whom? Fathers, who do you command to address you, Father? That is, only your own children. They may be your natural children, they may be your adopted children, but indeed it is only your children that you permit and that you command to call you Father. And to whom was the Lord Jesus speaking? When he is instructing them concerning this prayer, that is his own children, that is his disciples. You say Judas also is among them. That is true. The Lord Jesus did not point out Judas at this time. Thus many have no right to use this address. And yet they are not distinguished from our side. Later these will become evident. You say, may I pray thus? If you are a child, and then indeed you may pray thus, because that belongs to every child. Whether that he is a small child, or whether he is an older child. We ask you, do you have the freedom to pray thus, our Father? What do we need for that freedom? And then we need to know that we are indeed a child. May the unconverted then use the Lord's Prayer? Or must the unconverted then not pray this prayer? No, we do not say this. What does it mean? Not that we ought not use such a prayer, but that it means that when we are unconverted, that we must become converted. You say that is the Lord's work. That is true. Do we desire it? Do we seek it of Him? What greater comfort, congregation, can there be in our whole life than to be able to call God our Father? What a relationship that is. The relation between a father and his son. A blessed relation. And the instructors in our catechism, they say that this is actually the foundation of prayer. Why? That is not so difficult. In prayer, we make a request. We know that many prayers have no requests. We read that in the Bible, boys and girls, of a Pharisee, and he stood and prayed. Thus the Lord Jesus says with himself, then he prayed, I thank thee. And so we have many prayers that are filled with I thank thee and thanks that is also due. But then there is no request. Thus there is no need. Thus there is no want. But in a true prayer, then there is a request. And for what? We heard something of that last week. For all things necessary for soul and for body. And yet there is something very peculiar about this request. And what is so peculiar about it? In the first place, we do not deserve it. And in the second place, we have nothing to pay for it. Thus, we are asking the Lord to give us freely something for which we will never give Him anything in return. To whom do we dare to make such a request in this life? Not of everyone, certainly, because man has his own self-interest. And when we are not able to pay, then we also will never receive. But that is a request that we do dare to lay before our own Father. Why? Because a father has an interest in his own child. A father has love for his own child. Thus, our instructors, they say that the foundation of true prayer that is lying in a filial relationship, that is lying in the relationship between a father and his child. Namely, they say that God is become our Father in Christ. Oh, what a precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ. To bring his people again into such a relationship with his own Father. What a precious work, the work of mediation, that work of restoration, that work of bringing together again those who could not be together because of sin. The Father says, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land? Oh, the Lord says, I said, thou shalt call me my Father, and thou shalt not turn away from me. Thus, sovereign, he shall do it from his own sight. So Manasseh became a son. So a Saul of Tarsus became a child. Did we also, in that same way, become a child? Our Father. What is necessary for this relationship? What had to happen in order for the creature of God to come into such a relationship with Him? That is the fall of man. Adam was not created in this relationship. Say, was he not the Son of God? Yes, he was. But he was the Son of God in a different way. He was the Son of God as even the angels are called the sons of God, and actually as every man in this whole world, even the reprobate, are still today called the sons of God. That is, Adam, he was the son of God by his creation. But how must Adam receive this blessing of the Lord? How must Adam receive eternal life? That was by his own labors. He had to earn it. It was no free gift to him. Thus it was more in that relation as a servant than it was as a child. Thus it was through his own obedience. Do this and thou shalt live. By the fall, Adam has brought himself outside of that relation with God, out of that sonship, as it were, that he became the son of the devil. As the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." So it is with every one of us in our fallen state. But now that second Adam, he has brought his church into a new relationship. That is, a new relation as the sons of God. A more blessed relation than our first parents had in their creation. Because now are they made sons by virtue of his only begotten Son. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. That is that new sonship over the sonship even of the other creatures of God, even the holy beings of God that are his angels. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father, that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer he may excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God? Thus, the children of God, they are commanded to use this name, Father. And why are they commanded to use this name, Father? In order that they may come before God in the right frame. And what frame is that? That they may come before God even as a child. And our instructors say that consists in two things. First, reverence. And second, confidence. Thus, reverence. How is that, boys and girls? How is that, young people? When you approach, when you address your mother or your father, the Lord is using earthly relations in order to teach us something about the heavenly relation between himself and his church. Thus, when that earthly relation between the father and the son, the mother and the daughter, etc., when that earthly relation that is being corrupted, then we are losing something of that instruction that the Lord has given to us for the sake of his people. Thus, what are we requiring, parents, from our children? How do we require that they address us? May they address us the same as they address their friends? Are we to be to them even as one of their friends? Or are we to be to them a father or a mother? We must require reverence, respect in their speaking, in their approaching to us, so that that heavenly instruction that the Lord is giving concerning Himself and His church is not lost unto our children. Reverence. How do we approach unto God? We hear Abraham. He approaches unto the Lord. He has a request of the Lord. Behold, he says, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Then we can hear the awe and the reverence that is lying in that heart of Abraham. That requires that we know to whom we are approaching. That requires that when we approach, that we have a little impression in our hearts to whom we are approaching. Then our prayer that is not as common talk. Then our prayer is not as we speak unto others. Nor will it be then a mere formality, but it will then be in earnestness with a need as a father is approached by his child who is in need. But in that need, how does such a child approach unto his father? When it is right and when there is a good relation between father and son, then that child is approaching his father also with, our instructors say, with confidence. Where does confidence come from in the heart of a child as he approaches his father, even with awe and respect? Where does confidence come from? Confidence comes in that heart of that child when he knows and when he feels something of the love of his father. And that his father cares for every one of his needs, even for his smallest needs. And that his father will not deny him his needs in this life because of the love that is lying in his heart. And this relationship that is now so necessary for that confidence. And that is especially necessary for confidence for a very special reason. And what is that special reason? That is guilt. That is not an innocent child that is now approaching unto his father with his requests, but it is a guilty child. And when that guilt that is lying in the heart, on the conscience of this child, then how can he approach his father with confidence except that he feels that there is love in the heart of his father? When that is not so, there is no way that he can come to his father when he is full of guilt himself. But we hear that prodigal, that he still comes to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And indeed, that father, he has been looking. That father has been waiting for that child to come. And what is then the answer of that father? Bring forth the best robe, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, and kill that fatted calf. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Oh, if any would ask any of you that is a father, for bread would he give him a stone? Or if he would ask of you a fish, would he give unto him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does God give good gifts unto those who ask them of him? As a father, the Lord is permitting himself to be moved by the supplications, by the cries of his own children. As a father, then he is permitting his bowels to be moved for the sake of the need that is coming up before him. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall then he not with him freely give us all things? We read. But our fathers, they speak about coming to him in true faith. And what is that faith? That is, once again, that faith of a child. But here, when we read of the address in prayer, then our fathers speak of that address as a means to something. That is a means to stir up that true church in the exercise of true saving faith. Not the essence of faith, to receive it, but that is in the exercise of faith. It is for this reason that our instructors say that the Lord commands his church to address him, our Father. Why? That childlike reverence, that childlike confidence may be excited within the heart of his church already in this address. That is to stir up the exercise of faith in the meditating upon the attributes of God, to meditate on the relationship of God between himself and his church, who is a sinful church, a relation that is only through his own son. Thus, that exercise of faith that is a gift of God, but the Lord is using means here to urge his church on, that they may bring, that he may bring that faith into exercise. Let us sing first from Psalter number 53. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. 1-5 of Psalter 53. Thank you. Our first point was the instruction concerning why and that we may pray. And that is only because that God has adopted sons and daughters to be His own children. That is the foundation why we may pray. Our second thought, the instruction concerning how that we must pray. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from His almighty power all things necessary for soul and body, which art in heaven. That is now the distinction that the Lord makes between Himself and all of the idol gods in this world. They are of the earth. But He says that He is in the heavens. We cannot see Him with the natural eye, no. But we may experience His hand in all of the things that are in this world. And His communion that is also experienced within the heart of His own people, which art in heaven. But that is an expression that is much more than just a mere distinction. There is also much instruction in it. And then especially two things. First of all, who that God is. Our catechism says, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty. We are congregation of the earth, earthy. And we conceive of God in such a temporal way as we conceive all the things that are here below. But God is in heaven and we are upon the earth. God is sitting between the cherubims. God is sitting above the circle of all the earth. And the whole earth, they are unto God. Even as we look upon the grasshoppers, we can read in the Word of God. Moses came into that presence of God. And when he came out of his presence, then his face did shine. And so that the children of Israel could not even look upon him. When the Lord would appear before us this day, then would we come with our faces in the dust. And then all our carelessness in approaching unto God would immediately vanish away. Which art in heaven? The Lord says that He is a spiritual being, not a carnal being. That means that He will be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Thus we see our need for that spiritual life. We see that need for that rebirth, that we may be born again, that we may again approach unto that true and to that living God, which is in heaven. Thus instruction, who He is. And not only who He is, but our instructors speak about His ability. That is, His ability to provide, and that we may expect from His almighty power all things necessary for soul and body, that we may not harbor any earthly conceptions of His power, of His ability. He is in heaven. He is almighty. And where is that place that His people come? Then He is bringing in them so often in that place of impossibility. Which art in heaven? Sarah laughed. Why? Because she had earthly conceptions of God. But what was the Lord's answer? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Zechariah says, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. Earthly conceptions of his power, of his ability, is anything too hard for the Lord? Or with God, nothing is impossible. What was the sin of Israel when they came to the edge of that wilderness? And when they rebelled because there was no way out, mountains on the sides, a sea before and an enemy behind. But they could not believe that God was in the heavens. And when they are brought into that wilderness, and they say, shall God now provide food for all these people in the wilderness? Meat and other food to eat? God, is God able to provide a table, to furnish a table in the wilderness? Earthly conceptions of who God is. Our Father, which art in heaven. And what does James say, people of the Lord? That you must ask in faith, not wavering, because he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that is driven by the wind and tossed. And indeed, how often is it not so? And that faith of that true people of the Lord that is driven by the wind and tossed to and fro so that they cannot believe it. And why? Earthly conceptions of God. Earthly conceptions of his ability. Earthly conceptions of his mercy, of his grace, that sin would still stand in the way. What does he have to say to his church over and again? Why dost thou doubt, O ye of little faith? Congregation, it is so hard to believe. It is so impossible to believe because we have such earthly conceptions of him, because his grace that is so free, because it is given to those who do not deserve it. It is not difficult for you and me to understand with our mind. No, that we can grasp, that we can comprehend. But it is so impossible to believe that it could be for such a one as I. That I could be truly a recipient of the grace of that great and majestic God. So impossible to believe it, because then we see who and what we are and remain. Then we have such earthly conceptions of his mercy and of the power of that blood. It needs all to be revealed. And when it is revealed unto his church, then that faith that is brought into exercise so that it is able to move mountains of guilt, and that it is able to give such rest and such peace in the life of his own church. Our Father, which art in heaven, congregation, who is our Father? Is our Father still the devil? Is our Father still the prince of this world? If that is so, then our love that is only for this world, and this world and our Father. He has dominion over our hearts, over our thoughts, over our inclinations, over the affections of our heart, that then is all to the world. Is that not still lying within the heart of the church of God? Oh, yes, it is. They are also not free to their own shame of that love of the world. And that is why they need to be exhorted continually to set your affections on things above and not on the things on the earth. And that is now the reason that the Lord, He commands His children to pray this address, Our Father, which art in heaven, that they may not cleave to the flesh, which is actually a burden unto their own hearts. The Lord Jesus said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Soon we are going to leave it all. And everything that we spend so much time and labor and thought on here below, that is all going to be left behind by us. But there is now an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, and that does never fade away. Or do we seek such an inheritance? That we may truly be rich, that we may truly be increased with goods, spiritual goods. But congregation, how do we conceive even of that inheritance? Do we conceive of that inheritance in an earthly, in a carnal, in a sensual way? That inheritance is a spiritual blessing. It is, we read, eternal life. That is life with God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Is that our desire? That we may come back to Him. Do you ever miss Him? Him that created you, that you may have a desire to return unto Him again. Do you ever feel who made the separation? That is not He. But He made us good. He made us upright. He made us in His image. And we? What have we done? If indeed we have such a desire, if that is indeed a true desire, then that spiritual life has indeed already been wrought within us. No, we do not say then that we dare to call God our Father. Because for such people, then it is way too high for them. They say that is now the blessing, and that is laying on the true people of the Lord. A privilege that they may be able to address God as their Father. Yet in practice, what do such people do? They cry as a little child. They cry sometimes just like a baby. For what? For His presence, for His nearness, for His favor, for His communion. And then they do what a child does, even though they would never yet dare to call God their Father. Congregation, there is no greater comfort than to receive that knowledge in our life that God is our Father. People of the Lord, that is a great blessing. Do you also seek that blessing? It is not to the honor of a father. When a child would never dare to call you fathers, how would that be? When our children would not dare to call us father, then we would be hurt. then our heart would bleed for our children. We say, our children, oh, you miss something. What do you miss? You miss the knowledge. You miss the comfort of a blessed relationship. You are my child. And oh, if you would only now seek to know that you would only now make your calling and election sure, so that you might know that you are my son, that you are my daughter. We do not say to do it presumptuously, no. No, then it means nothing. But when we may indeed know from the Lord that He is our Father, oh, then indeed we receive a comfort. And then faith may be incited and faith may be stirred up, even by this blessed address, the means that the Lord has given to His church to excite that faith that is so pleasing unto Him. May that then be the portion of His own church, and may be a holy jealousy that would be born in the hearts of each and every one, that we also may know such a relation, and that we also may be given that freedom in our life to address that most high God of the heavens and of the earth as my Father. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, then who of us can rightly address Thee as Thou commandest Thy people? Lord, then we need to be led further by Thee. Oh, give Thy church to seek out that instruction, that they may not be presumptuous, but that Thou may give that hearty confidence that is pleasing in Thy sight and that is so comfortable for the soul of Thy distraught people. Oh, we beseech Thee to work, Lord. Be with us in the rest of this day. Bless Thy word. Give us thought, meditation thereon. And wilt Thou be with us in the other part of our congregation in this evening hour? Also him that hopes to make confession of faith in that place, be on his right and on his left hand. And may Thou go with us in the week to come in all the labors of our hands, each one in our place in this world. Keep us from sin in our hearts, in our mouths, in our lives. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 278, stanzas 1 through 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1 through 5 of Psalter 278. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.